Welcome back to Crime and Anxiety after a very, very long break, Chloe.
Hi.
So excited that you finally made time in your busy, busy life to record with me.
Welcome back, everybody.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Chloe.
Chloe's my daughter, in case you didn't know.
Shannon's my mother, in case you didn't know.
And we're back to talk about some crimes and
some anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety. We were going to call it maybe a new name, but then I decided no.
Well, it would mess everybody up. It would throw off the rhythm, you know?
It would. But our new plan is to talk about crime, but also at the end of each episode to talk about reality a little bit. So today we're going to talk about the very new and amazing show called Adults Adopting Adults.
It's pretty scarring.
It is crazy. It's so messed up. Okay, anyway, so back to what we're talking about today. So, Chloe, I came up with a theme for the next several episodes.
Okay.
It is going to be things that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
I think this is going to be great. I'm super excited to hear.
I grew up in the 80s, 90s, so there's so many messed up things that happened. One of which I remember specifically, the Gainesville Ripper.
I've listened to a lot of podcasts recently, but I don't know any that have covered this one. I'm sure.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple, but it's a while back.
Excited to be refreshed.
Yeah. It's super scary. So I got my information from Wikipedia a little bit.
Wikipedia.
Is it Wikipedia?
Wikipedia.
Wiki. Cold Blood, the series, season 3, episode 6, called The Gainesville Ripper.
What is this show?
I don't know. I just found it on Prime. It's called Cold Blood or In Cold Blood.
Is it like all serial killers?
I think so.
I want to watch that.
Okay, go watch it. It was really good. It was very informative.
Oh, wonderful. Great.
It's fabulous. Okay, so here we go. It's going to be weird. Okay, so in August of 1990, yours truly was about 11 years old. Okay, now remember this because I grew up in South Florida. A lot of the families in town, kids, went to University of Florida, and this is where it took place. So students were returning to the University of Florida campus, excited for a new year. Go Gators. As you know, I'm a Gator fan.
Yeah, they all know.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time.
I don't think that's true. All right, so the students were back. Now, one thing they said in this show and in the articles I read, they called all these women co-eds. I don't like that term. I just call them women. I don't know.
What is the definition of a co-ed?
I'd have to look that up, but it seems to be referring to women who also matriculate at school with men.
So just a college student.
Right, exactly. So two female college students were getting moved into their new apartment. They were super excited for a fun year. Christina Powell and Sonia Larson, both were 17 and 18 years old, freshmen. They were starting school. They had met the summer before and decided to share an apartment together as all the dorm rooms were full. And I believe it was the Larson family that said they were super nervous about that, about their daughter living off campus.
Yeah, that's scary. What part of Florida is this?
This is in North Florida, like Gainesville area.
Not a good area anyways.
Well, no, Gainesville's a great town, but it's not got, like, I don't think it's got super bad here. It's a cute little college town.
Really?
But yeah. The university itself is big, so it's not like a tiny town, but it is a college town where you'd feel comfortable sending your kid.
Okay.
On August 26th of 1990, after several days of not hearing from their daughters, the Larsons and the Powells speak to each other, and then the Powells head to the apartment because they lived closer by. They're banging on the door, and there's no answer. And in the day,
a couple days.
Well, okay, listen, this was the 90s. There was not cell phones. We had landlines, but their landline had not been hooked up yet. So as a college student, you would go off and probably not hear from your kid for a couple days.
Wow.
You,
I would freak which, the hell out.
What?
You would freak the hell
I
out.
I hate that.
I didn't go to college, so I mean.
Yeah, but also we have cell phones and we can text and constant communication. So you know right away if something's going on, right?
Right.
Okay, so several days not hearing from them. The Powells head that way. They're banging on the door. Nobody's there. They get the like apartment manager to come up. He calls the police, so they have a police backup person. And they get into the door and immediately see a horror. It's terrifying. Sonia Larson is dead on the bed. She is posed in a very provocative position, obviously stabbed to death.
Do you know what this position was?
They said it was her laying on her back with her feet up on the floor and her legs spread. And she was naked. She was completely undressed.
So not like any kind of like... He wasn't posing them remorsefully.
No. This was to humiliate.
Oh, God.
It was a humiliation. Okay. So then they go downstairs and Christy is in a similar position, dead, stabbed to death on the floor. She had been raped. And everybody's just shocked. It was so gruesome. And just like the posing of the bodies was shocking. And the whole scene was just weird.
And both women were sexually assaulted?
No, not Sonia. Sonia was on the bed and evidently had defensive wounds on her. It came out later that evidently, I think Christy had been downstairs asleep on the couch and that was his target. So he went upstairs, killed Sonia, went back downstairs and raped Christy. Now, this person's messed up, right? They found some odd details on the scene. Duct tape had been used on both victims, then removed. A bottle of liquid detergent had been set, I think, between Powell's legs with soap residue on her body as if she'd been cleaned off, like to erase any evidence. That's assuming, you know, the duct tape was taken, so there's no evidence as well.
That is so creepy. That's scary how,
very.
Like, planned out. Like, can you imagine? Like, detergent, like... Soap? Like dish soap?
Yeah.
Liquid detergent.
The shower had been used, but the drain removed.
Okay.
So in what would catch hair and stuff like that, that has also been removed. So law enforcement right away, this looks like an experienced killer, not a crime of somebody who's just committing their first crime. And possibly he had stalked his victims first, but they don't know that for sure right now.
Well, I mean... Did these women look similar at all? Like, did you see any pictures of them or anything like that?
I don't think they're necessarily similar looking. They're just all young college girls.
Okay. So just, I mean.
I mean, young. They're 17 and 18 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's absolutely terrifying.
It is so scary. I hated it. Okay, so 8 hours later, before they even finish processing that scene, Krista Hoyt, 18 years old, has not shown up for her job with the sheriff's office. She's a dispatcher, and her coworkers know that this is very unusual. And due to what just happened and what they're still cleaning up, they send officers to her apartment right away.
Thank God.
Yeah, but not. She was found. Krista had been raped, stabbed to death, mutilated, and decapitated. Her body was in that same posed position on the bed, with her head on a shelf looking on to her body.
Wow. There's so many, like, I feel like underlying messages in how these bodies are displayed. And, like...
It's so gross.
To have your own head looking at your body while... Probably during the assault, I would assume.
Possibly. I don't know.
Weird that he would rape the first girl... But not take advantage of that other girl that was already there.
Yeah, yeah. He had specific targets, it seems like, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so that is awful. And the word gets out and people are freaking out, okay? The same stuff is found at that scene. Adhesive tape, like, that was taken away. Stabbed, the soap was there, the shower, everything was, like, all these similar things, okay? So the word is out and people are freaking out. This is what I remember because I had a couple of friends growing up at the time whose older siblings were at University of Florida at the time, and I remember the parents bringing them home.
Yeah, like, I mean...
I would never send you back to school again.
I hope after that they like, actually called their kids every single day.
It's terrifying. I don't know. Sorry. I don't know how we survived without phones, cell phones.
I can't imagine. And also, didn't one of our aunts or something say they just tried to, like... Someone on something said, maybe it wasn't one of our aunts. Was someone in our family there?
Where?
Like in one of these dorms?
No, you're thinking of a different story. Very quick side note. I want to say this is the Ted Bundy situation. One of my friend's aunts had been in a sorority at the time. Oh. And that was around the time that was happening.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's terrifying. It's too. I think that was a lot earlier than this, though.
Okay. Oops, sorry.
No, I mean, it's all... You know, this is the stuff that terrified me. As a kid. You wonder why I am so messed up, like scared of men in a white van, et cetera, men, things like that. Period. All these things happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Terrifying. Hated it so much. So people are bringing their kids home. People are walking in groups and not sleeping by themselves. They would have groups in apartments. Just they were scared. I do not blame them. I don't know why they all didn't go home. So a task force is set up. The killer, despite all his... you know, trying, has left some crucial evidence in the form of semen.
Wonderful.
Which is fabulous. So obviously DNA at this time isn't fabulous and it's just going to take a long time to get it, right? So in the midst of all this happening, a bank robbery occurs in Gainesville. The police chase the guy who did it through a campsite. They lost him, but at the site, they found a 9mm handgun, cash, and stolen jewelry. So they take the jewelry to the family members. None of it is those girls. So it's just like a random occurrence and they're super confused about it, right?
He had to have killed before.
Yeah.
Does it go back into that?
Did yes.
Okay.
Yes. Wonderful. So a few days later, August 28th, 1990, they find the bodies of 23-year-old Tracy Paulus and Manny Tabota. They are friends. And they're male, female, living together, just really good friends at the Gatorwood Apartments. And what they figured out later is everything was similar with the scene, except for there was a man who was stabbed to death, but he was just, he got in the way. That's what they're assuming.
Was he a boyfriend?
No, they were just really good friends.
So he was probably there to protect
her. They had decided to live together, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons why.
Yeah. God, yeah. That is so sad.
It is heartbreaking.
Like, you know, all the little things, extra steps that we take.
Yeah.
And it was just completely undermined. Like, he just killed that guy.
Yeah. It sucks. And I hate whoever this is, right? At that time, this took place at Gatorwood Apartments. People start reporting that there's this really odd man. He is at Gatorwood Apartments, standing in the woods with a knife. They call and tell the police, hey, this guy's being very weird. He's obsessed with knives. He's standing in the woods with a knife. He's just got some real odd behavior, right?
That's like...
Yeah, I'm going to scare the crap out of me.
Like, batshit. Like, that's really not okay.
That'd be like a guy standing... back here in the woods with a knife, and I'm just called the police. I'm like, listen, there's some odd behavior. I mean, I'm not sure.
Kind of weird that he's out there. Can you guys
could you just come see? I mean, he's got a knife. I don't know.
He's got a knife. Yeah.
So weird. Okay. So this guy's name was Ed Humphrey. Ed Humphrey is a young man that's had mental struggles for a long time. He is bipolar. Because of all this stuff, that's their main suspect, but they haven't brought him in. What they do is just keep surveillance on him for everything he does. So investigators start looking for other cases in VICAP that would be similar to anything found here. They find something a year earlier in Louisiana. Julie Grissom, her father and nephew, stabbed to death. Duct tape applied and removed. She's a college-age girl. The forensic testing was ordered on this despite I think the Louisiana people were saying, oh, I don't think this could be connected, even though the guy who was in charge of this investigation was like, nope, we need to do this, right?
Just check, like, everything, just in case.
Just in case, right? He orders forensic testing despite the naysayers. So Ed Humphrey, the fellow that's a little odd, they're surveilling him. He leaves the area. He travels down to his grandmother's home and proceeds to beat her terribly. So they do have to arrest him. And he is now behind bars. But they still don't have any concrete evidence linking him to any of these crimes.
Stop him from beating up his grandmother.
I know. It's heartbreaking. Horrible. But you know what? It's all out on the news. This guy, Ed Humphrey. Everyone thinks he's the guy because... Yeah, he sounds a little crazy. He's beat his grandmother and they've arrested him. I think they've named him a suspect. So a week has gone by and all is quiet and things start to return to normal in Gainesville. As they're, I guess they were searching Ed Humphrey's grandmother's, they find a knife, they find detective magazines, etc. So they're thinking more and more, this has definitely got to be our guy. We just have to find a concrete link, right? So meanwhile, investigators get a call from a couple in Shreveport, Louisiana, Steve and Cindy Dobbins. They have been housing a person that seems very suspicious. This man's name is Danny Rowling. He would show up to their house dressed like Rambo, like a couple of times. What? He would ask the guy, Steve, I really need to talk to you. I need to talk to someone. I'm a bad guy. I like to stick knives in people. As soon as this conversation took place, and they're like, yeah, we can't have you at our house anymore. They call the police to tell them this, and they realize that Danny Rowling's has been arrested in Ocala for robbing a bank or for a robbery.
Oh, where the jewelry and stuff.
Right. Okay. So this was on September 9th, 1990. They realize that the murders stopped cold after that. So that's when everything was going back to normal. They realize after they get this call from the people, Danny Rowling has been arrested September, looks like 7th, 1990. All the murders stopped. And so now they've got to find the evidence. And we are remembering the random campsite they had before. Danny grew up in a very abusive home. His father sucked. He just had a rough life. But guess what? That does not give you the right to knife people.
Yeah, you really can't knife anyone.
Freaking makes me so angry. So finally, DNA is back. It did not match Ed Humphreys. He's convicted for the thing with his grandmother, and people are still thinking, and they have named him the Gainesville Ripper, even though it's not been proven and the charges were dropped. So in a way, yes, he beat his grandmother, but in a way, listen, I'm not negating that. I'm saying he has bipolar, and you don't know what kind of trigger if he wasn't taking his medication, stuff like that. But for the rest of time, if you look up newspaper articles, he was listed as the Gainesville Ripper for a good while. I know.
Is
I feel.
He in jail still? Do you know?
I have no idea. I wouldn't think he's still in jail still, if he's even still alive. So the DNA is back on the Grissom murder, and it is a match. A B positive blood type at all the crime scenes. And when they go back to this campground weird setting they found, they had all the stuff from it, including cassette recorders that they found among the campsite things. And there's a recording of his voice and him singing a song about a killer drifter and says, well, I'm going to sign off for a bit. I've got something to go do. And they believe that this is the night that he went and committed the first murders.
Oh, my God. Self-incriminating on that tape.
If you want to go listen to that tape, it's on the episode. So creepy. I hate it. I hate it.
My favorite cases are the ones that have audio clips of them talking.
Oh, wait, that is so creepy, right?
Like, I don't know. It just makes it much more real.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It just, it gives you chills to your bone,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So he's in jail right now for the robbery, right? He, for some reason, has a dentist appointment. And while he's at the dentist appointment in the prison, I guess they got DNA from him and it is a match. So on November 5th, 1991, Danny Rowling is taken in.
Finally.
There's a lot of different theories bouncing around. They still think that Ed guy was involved. He was not. But the grand jury clears Ed's name and Danny Rowling says repeatedly he acted alone. Okay. In public, he wasn't saying a lot. But in prison, he was in jail already. He told his cellmate he'd killed 8 people for the 8 years he had spent already previously in prison.
Were they doing any kind of interviewing, like to see if
they were trying to? And he was evidently a very confusing interviewee.
He
was all over the place. He would say one thing, then negate it. He would like confess, but then not. It was all over the place. And so how they got him was that cellmate talking about it. So he confessed through his cellmate. Very, very weird. Like, he's just a weirdo. His way of talking was weird. He gave a lot of details. So this is how we know that Krista Powell was asleep on the couch and Sonia was just in the way. And this is how we know that the man, Manny, was just in the way as well. Tracy Paulus was his intended victim. And all the women were around the same. Oh, yeah. Chloe, hey, this is your. I forgot I made this. No, all the women were around the same size and look. They looked similar to his ex-wife.
All right. There it is. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, let's just go kill a bunch of people because we're pissed off.
So do we have any information on his ex-wife or no?
No, not really. I just think she probably wanted to not.
She probably thought he was crazy weird and was like, I've got to go. And he was like, well, I'm going to kill a bunch of people that look like you, so have fun with that.
Before she left him, I'm sure he was like, I've got a song I want to sing you.
Can I sing you my murder song?
Can I sing you the song? It's really good. It's so scary. So on April 20th, 1994, he was sentenced to death. He never once apologized at all.
Is the death penalty still, like, controversial? Like, is that a pretty controversial?
I think it is very controversial. And, you know, just, I go back and forth. Like, is it too easy and out for them to not have to suffer? But at the same time, like, people who have murdered children and things like that, I don't want you around anymore.
I want the, but, yeah, but they need to pay the price. Like, we don't know what happens, like, after we die. They deserve to suffer. And I know what happens in jail now, and it's no good, so.
Chloe, I'm going to tell you, like I've said before, you know that if I did not have children, I would be a, when you go off on your own and.
What do you mean? Private detective?
No! Like, you take the law into your own hands.
Oh, a vigilante?
Yes.
Oh, I listen, love
that. I would be a vigilante. And if anything happened to my children, I would also be a vigilante.
That's a mama bear thing.
It's more than that. I think I would really do it.
If someone hurt my kitties, I would go.
Exactly.
I would go bananas. Swear to God. For sure.
If I see you hurting a dog, so help me, Jesus.
That really pisses me off. If I see an animal, like, in harm,
I will kill you.
Way, I, like, have a physical reaction.
Yeah, I do too. And it's not going to be good for you. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, I have a vigilante spirit in me. At this point, I have things holding me back. I am afraid of going to jail because I have my children and my family. But if something happened to y'all that somebody caught, you know, something like murdered you or something, I wouldn't have anything else to live for and I would go kill them.
Jeez.
Okay, sorry. That got real dark. I'm keeping it in too. People need to know where I'm coming from.
Sure, Mom. I love that.
So he was sentenced to death and he did die, and I forgot to write down the date. I want to say it was 1996. He had a lethal injection. So he's gone away from the earth. Thank God.
I mean,
should he have had to spend like his whole life in prison? Probably.
I believe that there is an eternal punishment.
Yeah.
For these predators that ruin people's lives. Like, I'm sure, I mean, when was this? When did this happen?
This was in the early 90s.
I mean, years and years after that, and family members after that, you're all going to be like, if you have a murder in your family, that's like pretty scarring to hear about.
Absolutely.
And like learn the details of. And the repercussions go on for decades, I feel like.
Yeah, it's sick. He's a sick guy.
Absolutely.
He knew right from wrong.
Totally.
Despite his childhood. I don't agree.
Do you have any details on his childhood?
All it said, and I'm sure I could have dug deeper, but honestly, I didn't want to give the background to his, I'm sorry I did this, because you know? So he did have an abusive childhood, an abusive father.
Father. Was his mother around?
Didn't say.
Okay. All right. I would like to do more research on this.
So you can. One day you certainly may.
I'll go back into his.
And listen, I did this pretty quickly because I knew Chloe was coming over today. And I was like, I really want to get this back on the roll and get going. I'll do a better job of researching next time.
Job.
Well, but there are details I missed. So I apologize ahead of time. This is just one story that I remember that stuck out to me and scared me to death that somebody could just break into your house and murder you.
I think at that
point, I hadn't heard any crazy things. And that was terrifying.
And that started her long journey of
being overly careful. If Chloe doesn't answer my text, texting her 1,000 times till
really
she does.
Annoying, but I know that the intentions are good.
It's out of love.
It's out of love, for sure.
Let's talk about, just for a few minutes, something very funny. This Adults Adopting Adults on A&E is the weirdest show I've ever seen in my whole freaking life. It is shockingly bizarre. The main ones being Danny and Christy, who are trying to adult adopt Ileana.
That one, I think the other ones I can explain away somewhat. But that one, I think that man is truly a manipulator and is going, something's going to happen to that girl. I'm telling you, that baby, they're going to try to take custody of it or something.
I am very afraid.
I'm nervous
for I'm afraid for Ileana. These people are from Ohio, Danny and Christy, and evidently they've tried this before.
Oh, yeah, but what happened?
Danny, this was an 18-year-old girl. Danny developed feelings for her, so they could not go through with the adoption because he cheated, I guess. I don't know. It's a very weird story. His wife, Christy, is an enabler, we decided. She could get out of this thing anytime she likes, and she's just...
I think that she's suffered long-term abuse.
Maybe so.
I think that she is, like, brainwashed by this creepy guy. Because he... I can see where he once was super charismatic. Like, now he's old and nasty, so you can kind of see through it.
Yeah.
But, like, when he was younger and probably more charming, like... She got under, they've been married for a long time.
Yeah.
She got under his thumb and he's kept her there.
That's very true. So they are trying to adopt Ileana, who is 20-year-old from Austria. She is pregnant. They evidently were on a website or saw a post that she was wanting to be adopted. So they started communicating. Yeah, exactly.
He.
And they've agreed to adopt her. So... He's cheated on his wife before, and she's very scared of what's going to happen with this Ileana.
Yeah. So, I mean, understandably.
He says, I don't feel any feelings like that yet. Ew.
I'm nervous that I'm going to become attracted to her. I don't want. Okay, then don't.
Then don't adopt her.
That's weird. It's so weird. And she's literally having a child, so... It's just, like, so selfish. It's so weird.
So they have this, what is it, a camper set up that the wife have said, listen, this is already making me nervous. So she's going to live out here in this camper, and there's going to be some ground rules. Y'all cannot be alone together.
Reasonable.
And that's pretty much it. Don't be alone with her. Oh, wait, and she doesn't have a key to the house.
I get the alone thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you obviously don't trust... You're bringing this young girl into your house. You should be able to trust your husband alone with this girl. Like, why are you so scared about leaving them alone? If you think that she is truly going to be a daughter figure in his life, they should be able to be alone together.
Yeah.
That's super weird. And it's like...
That goes to show you that this whole thing is not okay.
Yeah. She knows already. She knows that...
Yeah. She knows this is going to be bad.
They make weird comments about each other in front of her. It's so weird and uncomfortable.
It's very gross. I hate it. So when they're going to get her from the airport, he is making a sign like, welcome, Ileana. And he's like, what else should I write on it? And his wife's like, I don't know. He's like, well, you know, if it was left up to me, I'd say, welcome home, Ileana. Where's my blowy?
Come on with that.
What?
Nasty.
Absolutely. Are you serious right now, Danny? Where's my blowy to the girl you're saying you're adopting and you're going to be the grandfather to the child?
Pregnant child.
Gross.
She's 20 years old.
Listen, Danny, you are, first of all, not cute. You know, some guys get more handsome as they get older, like a silver fox. You are the opposite of that. And you are creepy AF. You have scary eyes. Nobody wants to give you a blowy, not even your wife right now. So quit saying that. Your wife hates you. Gross.
Nasty, nasty, nasty.
Shut up, Danny.
We hate you.
Pisses me off. So Danny is a little concerned that he might develop feelings for her, though. That's what we're left with.
Yeah. But
okay.
He says it in the interview with her there. With the wife there. And she's just like, okay.
She looks no so worries. Sad. So we just watched the episode right now. And this is the next part. They take Ileana to go shopping for all the baby stuff. And spend a ton of money on her.
Tons.
And then they take her to the doctor to get sonograms, etc. And then in the car on the way back, they're like, oh, what's the damage? He wants to know. What's the damage? How much have we spent on her already? And they just continually are like running this list. Yeah, like of money to kind of hold over her head. Oh, this is how much I've spent on you so far. So,
like throwing out numbers, like $500, like $1,000.
And why don't you make her feel like crap? You're the ones who said you wanted to do this out of goodness of your heart. Yeah. Leave it at that.
What kind of goodness is that? You're making her feel guilty. The poor thing is already, she's already four and she doesn't know what's going on. She's only a kid.
She doesn't know.
And she had just got told in her doctor's appointment that her child was underdeveloped, and the first thing they do is start reading off how much the freaking bill is.
Her baby's underdeveloped. She's a high-risk pregnancy, and then they're telling, oh, let's see how much we spent on you today. Thanks a lot. So Danny travels a lot for work. He's gone the majority of the time. So this leaves wife Christy the only one to take care of this Ileana, and it finally just goes to, I guess she's doing like her own video in the car, like her own self.
She's like hiding in the car.
And she's bawling her eyes out, and it has only been a week.
So sad.
And Danny's just happy in his own little video saying, I guess she's having a hard time. I don't know.
He's like, I don't really know. We just haven't been talking. But he's communicating with Ileana, so he's not communicating with
Exactly. He's texting Ileana a lot, not his wife. He has no idea what's going on with her.
He really only sucks. Cares about this young, new pregnant woman.
Pregnant woman.
That's not really a woman. She's 20 and he's like almost in his 60s.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Not
he's
okay.
Up there. It's not okay, Danny. Calm down. So this is the only people we'll talk about today just because it was so shocking and gross. It's the only thing I can get through. But y'all need to watch the show and we'll continue to talk about it because it is bizarre. Like if this guy isn't some kind of Chester the molester from way back when, I don't know who else is. He is creepy as heck. I see it in his eyes. I get a weird feeling. I don't like it. It's gross. So anyway, just tune in again next week. We'll be talking about another thing that scared the shit out of me when I was a kid, and a little more of adults adopting adults, which just sounds crazy. I told Chloe I would not appreciate it if she wanted to be adopted.
I'm thinking about it. I've been pondering, you know, now that I'm an adult, I really am hoping that someone will come along and adopt me. right out from under.
Like a man?
Yeah, like a random, like...
Older man?
Older man with a wife already, but he actually likes me. It'll be just really controversial and fun.
It'll be fun. I think you should sign up for the show, honestly. Honestly.
I will.
All right. As always, please give us a 5-star review if you like the show. If you don't like it, just don't leave anything.
Please.
At all. Just don't leave it. It's fine. I don't need your input saying this is a bad show. Okay?
We only want your good input, not your bad input. It's very...
It's traumatic for us.
Yeah.
If you want to help our anxiety... Don't be mean, because we do both struggle with anxiety and depression, but I would say mentally fragile.
Fragile. Okay,
we have a lot of fragility.
Fragility.
Also, we are on Instagram, Crime and Anxiety Pod, I believe, and I don't do Twitter anymore. Twitter hates me, so I hate it, and I refuse. Okay?
That's
so
it.
Just Instagram. All right, and until next time, y'all stay safe.
Forgot it for a second. That's okay. No biggie.
That's fine.